Today is Thursday, October the 22nd, 292nd day of the new year. 8:15-ish. Damien's reaching for the clock. Joining us this morning, you don't have to adjust your radios because he's going to get more than 3 minutes to talk about things. Dick Johnson.
Good morning, Ryan. How you doing?
Yeah, so you're still getting up at butcher hours, huh?
Well, yes, every morning, okay. Same time. You guys wake me up at 6:30.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it's not a frightening moment then.
No, it isn't.
This way we're talking a little bit about holiday foods. It's been a while since we've had a little bit longer period of time to talk about some of this stuff. And Dick, even prepared as the seasoned veteran he is in broadcasting, came in with his own quote this morning.
Yeah, my mother always told me, be sure and take your own sunshine with you wherever you go. And I'll tell you, that works, let me tell you.
Particularly with some of the fog we've been experiencing.
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Dick, I don't know if you want to start with Halloween and work down. Are you a pie guy?
If it's a pie, I like it.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the creation side of things.
Yeah. I'm not much into it besides pumpkin and pecan or apple. Those are my favorite pies, the ones that I make. I've never made any of the other pies, so I'm not really much of a pie guy as far as baking them, but when it comes to eating them, that's a different story.
Yeah, I know. There was a booth at a couple of the local pie shops that did have your name on them.
Oh, is that right?
So if somebody has never made a pumpkin pie from a pumpkin, it always comes from Libby's.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What is the biggest thing that they need to pay attention to if this is going to be their year?
Well, I'll tell you, I've never made a pie from pumpkin myself. It came from Libby's. Although one year we were up in visiting my kids up in Oregon, and they their mother-in-law brought some pie pumpkins, and they're grown specifically for that. They're small, and they have a thick thick pumpkin, and with a really thin outside on them, and they made them. I watched. They made them, and they really made a nice pie. They just peeled them and cooked them up, and
so the rind really was quite thin then.
Quite thin, yes, and the meat itself was very thick, and it was a sweet meat too.
Huh.
And that's the first time I'd ever seen that.
And these are, do you recall the name of them?
No, this has been several years ago when I was there.
You see the gourds in the stores.
Literally, I think they call them a pie pumpkin.
Oh, okay. Well, I can look for that one.
Yeah.
Angelique's doing it from the big guys, and it's just like, come on.
Yeah. Well, it's with me, it's a matter of labor and time. My hands don't work like they used to, and I don't have time to stop and peel pumpkins.
You got grandkids now. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not on the workforce, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the grandpa's, at least.
Yeah, right.
This time of the year, most folks aren't thinking about the holiday meats, but there are so many of them, and I think that's probably part of the challenge is determining what meat you want and getting it in time to work with it. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the different meats of the holiday season and some of the do's and don'ts, and we'll do that when we come back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dick Johnson. Butcher, or former butcher.
Former butcher, yeah. Worn out butcher.
It's not like the Marines, huh? Once a butcher, always, no.
Yeah, well, actually it is once a butcher, always a butcher. I love talking to people about meat and stuff like that.
Oh, I would figure people are stopping you, at least those of us that remember you.
Yeah, and they do. And then, like I said, you know, we had always worked around service counters, and you were able to tell people how to cook stuff as you sort of handed it to them rather than them taking it out of the counter and wondering what to do with it, you know.
There's certainly been a change in the meats that are available. Not only the types of meats. I guess you can get anything now if you really want it badly enough. But the fresh frozen, is it free range? Is it not? Is it this? Is it that? Is there that much difference between them? We've never tried because, you know, we kind of get in our own tradition, or some might call it a rut.
and we just
do what we do, and we're never disappointed.
Well, my own feeling is that there's not a whole lot of difference between a regular turkey as you'd buy it and a free-range turkey. Now, there, those that go for that stuff will say that there is, but I've always been a fresh turkey guy until when we worked at Myrtle Avenue, that's what we sold, mostly fresh turkeys. And nowadays, I usually pick up just a turkey breast, and because there's just the two of us, and that's all the turkey we need. But as you said, things are changing. I talked to Kevin up at Myrtle Avenue the other day, and he said he can't even get bone-in hams anymore. And if you want a bone-in ham, you have to go maybe to the co-op where they might be able to pick them up locally here or something like that.
Or go to a butcher specifically, you know, or bring your own pig in.
Yeah, well, that would be one way of doing it. Yeah, but not too many people can do that.
No. Okay, bring your neighbor's pig in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Go back in the out in the farm country, out of fresh water, and steal one.
With the beef, there's an awful lot of discussion about free range, grass fed, and then the others that have brands and maybe you feel comfortable with it or not. Is there more of a variety there?
Well, I've dealt with some grass fed. But mostly what I, you know, regular feedlot beef, but grass fed tends to be a little bit leaner, and I don't know that that's better, because fat and bone is what gives meat flavor. You can cook a totally lean steak and it won't taste like much, but with a little fat and a little bone in there, that's what gives it its flavor.
Now that is combined then with the marinade, whatever that might happen to be, or the seasoning.
Yeah.
Can that overcome or complement? Because I'm thinking there are certain cuts probably with the, well, the hamburger meat. You know, we always used to get, what, 30-70? I think probably is about what it was.
Yeah, right.
You know, and now if it's not 93-7, it kind of, unless it's, you know, dropping on the grill, it seems like it's something's wrong with it.
Well, I started buying, I always bought the lean ground beef, but now I've been buying the 80-20 because it's a little bit more moist and it's not so dry when you cook it. And years ago, I would have never done that, but now I found that it's actually more appropriate for what I want. But not to say there's anything wrong with a 93-7, because that's good too, but it cooks up pretty lean and sort of dry, really.
Well, it probably depends on the application.
Yeah, so what you're going to do with it. But the marinades and all that kind of stuff do give it flavor. Like, for example, veal. You cook veal, you have to cook it with something, otherwise it has no flavor at all. You use a marinade or something, and I'm not much of a marinade guy myself, but it definitely does flavor things.
The chickens, again, there's another variety there. Do you see that there's much of a distinction between the free-range chickens? Because I know that it's a marketing tool, I know.
Yeah.
Do you sense that there's a significant difference with the end product?
I would rather doubt it. I've never dealt with them really much because we've always used Foster Farms up at Myrtle Avenue when I worked up there, and we were always very happy with those, and I think it's mostly a in-your-head thing.
You know, you can say Stanton's, too.
I was down at Stanton's for a while, Myrtle Town Market as it was then.
Yeah.
And I think that's mostly in your head. If you're a purist, that's probably serves your purpose more, but I don't think there's that much difference in the meat myself.
What about some of the ethnic meats or meals with meats? You mentioned veal. Yeah. Okay, veal I don't think pops up regularly for a lot of folks during the Christmas season.
No.
However, I'm sure that there are some, but you start getting into like some of the Greek dishes.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place.
I suppose so,
Those types of meats that you may not be that familiar with, are there ways to attempt and not go too far off on the edge where you have to be a high-end gourmet to be able to at least sample it and get a good sense of what that meat's potential is?
I suppose, but I've always been pretty much of a basic guy myself, and I think if you go to a butcher shop now or a meat department and ask some of these guys about that kind of stuff, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, because most of them now are just box meat cutters. I mean, they know their stuff. I mean, but it all comes in a box. You don't have to break beef anymore, and you just a lot of them are just kids that don't know much about that kind of stuff. And I'm sort of in the middle. I learned the hard way, the old-fashioned way. But as you know, I've been out of it for several years, and so there's a lot of difference out there now from what it was then.
I kind of make it a mantra, look for the guy that's got the stains on his apron.
Yeah.
Looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Unless you know him and they just started their shift. KINS, yeah. News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dick Johnson, known probably now by most as community commenter rather than butcher.
Yeah, right. Those days
but
are
I'm
gone.
Not, I'm not going to whip that on you, man.
Yeah, okay.
Keep you pure.
Yeah, right.
What are some of the hints and tricks, Dick, of preparing? Let's start with beast. Whatever cut, whether it's a steak or anything that you might be using for the holidays. What is the way to make? Well, let's go with tenderloin. I guess that's probably the most traditional, huh?
Well, Christmas time, let's put it this way. At Christmas, we'll sell 90% turkeys or maybe 80% turkeys, and the rest of it will be spread around between roasts and hams and steaks. But at Thanksgiving time, I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. But so at Christmas time, then you get into the other stuff. You get into the steaks and the hams and the roast, and there you have your standing rib roast, and they call them prime rib roast sometimes, but that's actually not true. They're only prime rib if they come off of a prime piece of beef. But anyway, you'll get a filet, for example, in my opinion, I like to buy a whole filet and barbecue it or cook it and then slice it as rather than cut it into steaks. Because it seems like it holds up better that way, and it serves better. But it's funny how everybody buys turkeys at Thanksgiving, except for maybe just a very few that don't. But cooking them there's as many ways to cook things as there are people that cook it. Just like you were talking about, what was it you said a while ago about the...
Oh, yeah, our buds in Virginia.
Yeah.
Swear by, and I think I must have shared it a week or so ago because I remember I got an email or two, in a bag at 500.
Oh, yeah.
Let it go for an hour, turn it off, and it'll be done in time the following morning so you don't have to do it on the day.
Well, that seemed to be the fad for a while there. About the time I was going out, that was the fad, cooking them in the brown bag. Of course, like you say, you take the interior stuff out first before you do that.
The bag is extracted.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. And it's prepared about the same otherwise. But there's one lady told me she cooked her standing rib and packed in rock salt. And salt, as a general rule, will pull the moisture out of meat. So I never salt anything until I brown it on one side or the other. Then I add my salt to it. But she said, no, it doesn't. When you pack it in rock salt, it's because it's a different kind of texture. It doesn't do that.
Maybe because the contact surfaces aren't as large.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. But like I said, you can, as many people that cook, that's how many ways there are to cook stuff.
What about dry rubs and things like that for beef? I think most of us, if we haven't figured it out, it's like we want the crusty on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that isn't keeping it on the grill or on the rotisserie or in the oven for 55 hours before it gets nice and crunchy. How did the pros do that?
I really don't know, because I've never been a rub guy. Matter what it is, I just don't. I've never been a rub guy. I have a friend who brings me rub stuff, and it sits in the cupboard up there, and it never gets used because we just don't do rub stuff. I'm a traditional guy in the way that I want my meat just like it is, with a little salt and a little garlic powder on it, and that's about it. A little soy sauce, maybe, if I'm barbecuing.
I remember you mentioning, and I don't know if it was with the phrase, what you do, or the most effective, or but the topic was about marinades. And it was soy sauce, garlic, basil, and a little bit of black pepper.
And a little oil, maybe.
And plenty of thyme.
Yeah.
And just let the time, it's kind of like letting bread stand for a period.
Yeah, right.
Or to proof. I suppose it would be proofing your meat. I don't know. I've
never
heard that phrase before.
I never have either, but I suppose so. But a lot of people like the marinate things. But like I say, I just never was a big marinating guy myself.
So when we look at turkey, because I think that's probably the biggest thing that's on most folks' mind, is there an ideal weight if you're going to purchase, or a bone to meat ratio?
Well, it all depends on how many people you're going to feed, for one thing. In other words, if just my wife and I, like I said a little while ago, we buy a turkey breast. You can get a turkey breast now that are up around 8 or 9 pounds, and that's all meat except for just a little bone. But if you're going to feed 10 people, you want to figure pretty close to a pound a person or more. But
we always have had the experience of or more.
Yeah, because like you've got three, you've got these boys are big boys, and I've got grandkids that are big, and they eat a lot. And when we buy,
they make up for some of us petite eaters.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm a petite eater now compared to what I used to be, but it's the bigger the bird, the less the ratio is. In other words, you've got a 18-pound bird, you'd only need maybe 3/4 of a pound for person, something like that. But the smaller the bird, you need a little bit more.
KINS, News and Information, 841. We'll be back. Tricks of turkey, I think. When we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back with Dick Johnson, the segment you've been waiting for. Dick, how do you do the turkey properly?
Well, my wife and I cook it together. We and I've learned over the years what to do. I've talked to lots of people about turkeys and how to cook them. I've learned a lot, and I've also taken that and what I've learned and shared with other people. But she washes it good, and then she rinses it out on the inside. Then we put the salt and stuff and whatever we're going to do, and then stuff it. Some people don't like stuffing. Some people do. We happen to like stuffing. And stick it in the oven and cook it. Wrap it in foil and stick it in the oven and cook it. Sometimes, see, most of the turkeys nowadays are a lot more moist than they used to be. And you don't even really have to baste them, but you can. That's why I put them in a bag. That's why all that moisture stayed right in the bird.
Oh, I thought that was a cleanup issue.
No, it was more. It was more with how the turkey was held up inside that bag, and like I told you before about the lady who put the turkey in the bag and put it in the oven, and her mother didn't know anything about it, and then she says the poor girl doesn't even know it enough to take the turkey out of the bag before she cooks it. But it was kind of a fad for a while. You don't hear much about it anymore.
How about the thawing of the bird? You know, because a lot of us will buy the frozen.
Yeah.
And after we're done bowling with it.
Yeah.
I've heard things that say in the sink. I've heard put it in the fridge. I've heard put it in the garage. You know, I'm sure there's a regional element. You put it in a garage in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
It probably will thaw, but it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, it might take a week, yeah.
Yeah, put it in Arizona and you got an hour and a half.
What I do with mine, and I usually buy frozen turkeys now too. Excuse me. What I do with mine, I put them in the garage in a bucket of tepid water and change that water every once in a while overnight, and that's enough to do it. But you can put it in the refrigerator for a couple of days if you have the room. It's just a matter of how you want to do it and how much room you have.
Tepid water. What is
room temperature?
Oh, okay. Just out of the faucet then.
Out of the faucet. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't hit me with fancy words, man. Oh. From the hose, we have.
Yeah, right. Out of the faucet.
And notice we're not even going to talk about deep frying. That just sounds like playing with a bomb material.
Yeah, it is. I've never done that, but I've seen enough of it on TV to realize that I don't want to do it. Now, my son-in-law barbecues his a lot. He cuts them and has them cut in half, and he barbecues his turkeys a lot.
Really? Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving, yeah.
Huh.
Usually at Thanksgiving, we go down to his place at Petrolia, and there we cook them in the oven because you never know what the weather's going to be like. But he barbecues a lot of his turkeys.
So we've only got about a minute to go. Why is turkey relegated primarily to sandwiches and Thanksgiving? What happened?
I really don't know. I think it's just one of those things that evolved. And they get their fill of turkey at Thanksgiving, and then they're done with it. And actually, turkey is a very economical meat to buy, and you could eat them all year long for the price of them. But people just don't do it.
Yeah, I've pondered that myself. You know, if you buy one of those things like February,
yeah,
and you cut it up and you store it and whatever, you probably got almost a full week's worth.
Oh, easy, yeah.
Doing the Papstein size, of course.
Yeah, you know, right.
Not the Johnson size.
Yeah, right.
Might get a couple hors d'oeuvres out of it with your guys' approach.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, bud.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Glad to do it.
We've been Talking Shop with Dick Johnson. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Buy your turkey and tepid. Hose water. We'll see you tomorrow.